Greetings, this is H.G. Wells, Logset S1 Log 9, and today I must suspend my disbelief, for much to my pleasure, I am here with one of history's most influential poets and literary critics, a founder of the Romantic movement, Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Once again, wish to reiterate how very, very sorry I am, Mr. Coleridge. I didn't mean to knock when I arrived. Well, all right, I did intend to knock, it's only customary, but I didn't mean to frighten or startle you as such. I had no idea about your, let's say, knocking problem.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Wells. How are you to know? How could you have known? It's fine. It's not. It's fine.
All right then. Well, I'm glad we're on good terms still, I think.
Oh, yes, all fine and good, delightful and dandy, absolutely sterling, stupendous even. Such a great pleasure it is to have you here, Mr. Wells, a guest. Would you like a refreshment?
Yes, please, that would be wonderful.
Excellent, very good.
Ah, thank you. You know, after a spot of time travel, nothing is quite as refreshing as a nice warm cup of egg?
Yes!
In a teacup?
Mm-hmm.
And is that cayenne pepper?
It is!
Why?
In a teacup served with cayenne pepper is the best way to eat eggs.
Right.
No! The only good way to eat eggs. I bet you're one of those people who just salt their eggs, aren't you? Simply salt them and eat them on a plate.
Yes, like a normal person.
A normal person? You imply that I'm not a normal person? No. I am the normal person. You are the not normal person here. Yes, you are an anomaly. I'm not. An anomaly? I'm an anomaly. I eat eggs out of teacups! Oh, God.
Are you all right?
Is anyone ever really truly all right?
I think I question it more every day.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Wells. That was altogether uncalled for. I'm not quite, well, altogether myself at the moment.
You were ever all together? Wait, no. What I mean is, yes, I can see that you're out of sorts. Are you ill?
In one way, I suppose. In another, never better. Supposedly.
Supposedly?
Between you and me, Mr. Wells, my reliance on a certain medication is a little more than that of the average person's. I have a, let's say...
Laudanum addiction?
No, I do not! It is simply an over-reliance. Goodness, you sound just like that Wordsworth.
William Wordsworth. Fellow English romantic poet and friend William Wordsworth.
Yes, that's him. Of course, that's him. Who else would it be? Anyway, he's insisted I try going completely without laudanum for a few weeks to see how I feel. Feel better, as he said.
And so far, feel better translates to...
Fantastic, brilliant, wonderful, never been better once in my entire damned life. Thank you so much, Wordsworth. I'm so grateful for this decision you made for me that I could squeeze all the air from your lungs in a hunk so tight that your lungs wouldn't be able to hold any air in them anyway, because I would have violently crushed them with the intense gratitude that I feel, because I feel so much better. I'm so sorry, Mr. Wells. I didn't mean for that outburst. It's just that I'm currently feeling a little bit absolutely livid.
You know what? Maybe I should just go, and we can conduct this interview in about a year or two's time.
No, please stay, Mr. Wells. I'm fine to do the interview now. I'm fine-ish. Look, I've got all that anger out of my system now, mostly. So come on, Mr. Wells, come on. Let's let the interview begin. I'm ready for you.
I'm just questioning if I'm ready for you. Well, if you insist that you're fine, then let us begin. So, Samuel
Taylor... Just skip that.
Skip what?
Saying that.
You mean the question, which you have just asked me to start asking you?
No, the start of it.
But if I leave out the first half of the question, it will make no sense.
Not the first half. Skip out the very start.
So? The first word?
Yes.
Right. Samuel Taylor...
No,
what? I skipped the first word.
What?
You asked me to skip the first word. The first word was so, and you said yes.
Oh, this is all so complicated. The other first word, then.
What do you mean by the other first word? The first word is the first word.
My name. Skip my first name.
Samuel.
Don't say it. I hate it.
Now I think about it, I do remember reading somewhere that you detested the name Samuel.
Shh!
That name, which is your first name, a great deal. In fact, you've used a number of pseudonyms during the span of your career, and the names you've come up with are creative, to say the least.
Interesting names attract interesting people.
Yes, well, if I saw a book with the name Nemahaya Higginbottom on it, I would be intrigued, to say the least.
Though of all the names I've come up with, I think the one I'm most proud of is Silas Tomkin Cumberbatch.
Silence Tomkin Cumberbatch?
Silas Tomkin Cumberbatch.
What a convoluted name. At least it's a made-up name.
A brilliant made-up name.
Imagine a real person having a name like that. People would mispronounce it all the time.
Well, the Light Dragoons never had a problem with pronouncing it. Most of the time.
Wait. The what?
The Light Dragoons, as in the Cavalry Regiment. The 15th Regiment of the Light Dragoons.
You joined the British Army under that name?
Yes. It's not like it was uncommon to join the army under an alias in order to hide oneself.
And what were you hiding from?
You think I'm just going to tell you that I'd just divulged that to a complete stranger? Maybe it was because I was in debt. Maybe because I'd recently been rejected by the girl I loved. Who knows? I do, you don't, and you won't.
Fine. Keep your secrets.
It doesn't even all matter in the end. My brother's arranged for my discharge, successfully.
And for what reason were you discharged?
A completely ridiculous reason. Totally ludicrous.
And that reason was?
Insanity.
Well, I've heard more ludicrous reasons.
Do you fancy me mad, Mr. Well?
I'd rather not fancy you at all. Then again, madness can be subjective to one's perspective, can it not?
You fancy me mad?
Indeed. You're absolutely fuming. And I was mad to think that joke was even the remotest bit funny. I deeply apologise. Let's drastically change the topic to, journals! Yes, journals! You had plans for your own, correct?
Correct indeed! Oh. Brilliant! It was brilliant! The best journal, the most insightful, the most intellectual political journal in the country. And you know why else it was brilliant? It was printed every 8 days rather than the average 7 in order to avoid a newspaper tax.
And this journal was called...
You do not know its name?
No.
Shocking! Unbelievable! Well, perhaps a little believable. It only ran for 10 issues. Rather a shame, really.
And its name was...
The Watchman.
A somewhat ironic name, I'd say. It seems that nobody was watching The Watchman.
That's not true! A few people were. Well, Wordsworth was, for sure.
Speaking of Wordsworth, I'd quite like to talk about your relationship. Despite how he may annoy you at times, I think it's fair to say you're rather close, correct?
Rather close? Mr. Wells, we couldn't be much closer. We're the closest of close, the closest of all. Closest isn't even a real word. That's how close we are.
In simpler, more grammatically correct terms, you're the best of friends, one might say.
Yes, indeed, indeed. In fact, we're such good friends that I moved here to Keswick in order to be closer to him. He's frequently a house guest of mine and I of his.
How wonderful it must be to have a friend as close as that. Anyway, let's move on now to discuss what I'm really interested in. Kubla Khan.
Oh, Mr. Wells, must you remind me of my greatest failure? Every night as I lie restless in my bed, the very words of that poem haunt me. Forever incomplete, roaming the earth without peace or even a hope of reconciliation. My greatest work and my most terrible.
The most brilliant piece of poetry, never finished.
Doomed for restless misery eternal. Cursed to sit upon the page with no mortal end in sight, damned with every touch of my gaze. And yet, since it is both my greatest work and my most guarded secret, your very presence suggests that it must, in the future, be published for the world to gaze upon. Does this mean, then, that I will one day finish Kubla Khan? For I would not allow a publisher to even stand in his presence unless it was complete. Well, Mr. Wells, for a poor fool's sake, is Kubla Khan ever finished?
No comment.
Oh, can't you just give me a hint, Mr. Wells? Just a single clue, a small clue, a tiny clue.
I cannot give even the most microscopic clue.
Oh, please, please! Don't you know how long I've been trying to remember the end to this poem? Oh, how it haunts me. Oh, the torture, Mr. Wells, the torture. That intoxicated dream was so clear to me. I could see it all. It was so perfect. And then that knock. Oh, that knock. That damned knock, knock, knocking at my door took me right out of it. And that man. That man, he ruined it all. He just talked and talked and talked, and by the time he was gone, the words were gone too.
I am dreadfully sorry. I cannot utter a single clue, but that man you mentioned, the person from Porlock, he's always fascinated me. What do you remember of him?
Very little, I'm afraid. He could talk for England, endlessly, about such nonsense. Such nonsense that it completely knocked all memories of Kubla Khan out of my head. He was a strange man. Very strange. Not unlike you.
Me? I'm not strange.
You arrived here in some mad metallic sleigh-like machine covered in clockwork with an armchair for a seat, and then asked to interview me with this weird box containing a wax cylinder and what looks like the end of a trumpet sticking out of it. What part of that isn't strange to you?
All right. I'll concede to that point. When you put it that way, perhaps...
The knock! Oh, the knock! No, no, no! The man from Porlock! He's here to ruin my work again! No, no, no!
Oh, drat. I knocked again, didn't I? Oh, Coleridge. I'm so sorry. It's all right. It's all right. Come along now. It's just me, your good old friend Wordsworth.
Wordsworth?
That's it now. Breathe. And out again.
Does he always react this badly?
Unfortunately so. Wait a moment. Pardon me, but who are you?
Oh, well,
Wordsworth! This is my new friend, H.G. Wells. He's from the future.
Future?
Yes, yes. He's a time traveller from over 100 years in the future. He came specifically to conduct an interview with me.
Of course he did. Sorry about him. He has a wild imagination, to say the least. You must be a journalist, correct?
Yes.
Well, Mr. Wells, it's a pleasure to meet you. Sorry you had to see him like this. You won't publish anything about this outburst, will you?
No, don't worry. I assure that you won't see anything of all this.
Thank you. Now, Coleridge, I just came to check up on you. Your abstinence is all going well, I trust?
Yes!
And you haven't taken any still?
Haven't taken any still?
You're feeling better?
I'm feeling better.
Oh, excellent.
Excellent! Excellent! You know what would really be excellent, Wordsworth?
Extending this dry phase from a few weeks to a few months.
Oh! Oh, no. Not that. What would really be excellent is if I could have some laudanum now.
Coleridge, you know what we said.
I want the laudanum now, Wordsworth!
Oh, dear.
Don't be like this. Come along now. Do you remember what to do when the hysteria comes on?
Hysteria?
Correct.
I'm only hysterical because of your idea. Now give me the laudanum.
You know what? I'm just going to go. Be on my way.
Good idea, Mr. Wells. Now really, Coleridge.
I know you have it.
I'll just leave this invitation on the table here for when he's calmed down a little.
Calm? I am perfectly calm!
Anyway, anything's here. My name is H.G. Wells. This has been Samuel...
Oh, don't say it!
Coleridge and William Wordsworth. And sometimes you find that what you thought was a good idea is in reality something you'll only regret later.
Coleridge, you're only going to hurt someone in a minute.
I'm gonna bloody well hurt you in a minute!
This podcast was brought to you by Turpentine Productions. You can find us on Tumblr at Turpentine Productions, Twitter at HG Wells Regrets, and Facebook at HG Wells Has His Regrets. Or check out our website, www.hgwellshashisregrets.wordpress.com. This episode of HG Wells Has His Regrets was written and produced by Emily Hancock and Francesca Mylod Ford. Music composed by Emily Hancock and Joash Kari, and sound design by John Black. This show was created and executive produced by Emily Hancock. H.G. Wells was voiced by James Carpenter. Samuel Taylor Coleridge was voiced by Christian Burnett. William Wordsworth was voiced by Henry Lamb. This podcast is fictitious, and all characters within are merely fictional interpretations of the people they're based on, and are not to be taken as serious or accurate portrayals. We'll end the episode with a quote from Samuel Taylor Coleridge's poem, A Broken Friendship. And life is thorny, and youth is vain, and to be wroth with one we love doth work like madness in the brain. Thanks for listening.